Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's talk about character, a particular kind of character that often shows up in a political season, like the one taking shape in the 2016 race for the White House. We're talking about narcissism, an excessive interest in oneself, maybe even a grandiose view of one's own talents.
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that.
Okay, we don't want to pick on Donald Trump, the current Republican frontrunner. I mean, anybody, Republican, Democrat, socialist, who wakes up in the morning and sees the future president staring back at him or her in the mirror has to have a dose of narcissism. And maybe that's not so bad. On WBUR's Common Health blog, psychologist Craig Malkin argues just that. In fact, he says many of us might be better off if we were a bit more narcissistic. Craig Malkin is author of Rethinking Narcissism, The Bad and Surprisingly Good About Feeling Special. He's also an instructor of psychology at Harvard Medical School, and he joins us now. Welcome, Dr. Malkin. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So in the Common Health blog piece that I read, Carrie Goldberg interviewed you, and there's a strong disclaimer in which you say, I would not advise anyone to emulate Donald Trump in a lot of ways, and a lot of ways that he behaves. But you say it's a myth that narcissism is all bad. Right. So explain that.
So the first third of my book, Rethinking Narcissism, is really devoted to helping people understand and protect themselves from the dangers of narcissism. We kind of have to go through the bad to get to the good. But if you look at research, over a quarter century of research, including our own, shows that the vast majority of people around the world feel a little bit special. They see themselves through slightly rose-colored glasses, and that those that do feel more optimistic, more resilient. They feel they're able to persist in the face of failure. And in our research, actually, they were able to give and receive in relationships more easily. That is healthy narcissism. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a part of our human experience. It becomes dangerous when people turn to feeling special, kind of like an addiction, as their sole means of feeling good or feeling good about themselves. And they set all other needs and all other people's feelings aside. That's when it becomes dangerous.
And doesn't it become dangerous? I mean, when I think of narcissism, sort of unhealthy narcissism, I'm thinking of the kind of character that almost isn't capable of looking out at the world. I mean, everything is sort of filtered through your own experience. Isn't that a...
Definitely a part of it. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to help listeners understand, when we think of narcissism, we think of narcissists, we tend to think of the vain, preening, primping, chest-thumping braggart.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has been mentioned a number of times, but not all narcissists care about looks or fame or money. Some can be quiet. Some are more concerned with being recognized as the most misunderstood person in the room, or they feel like they're especially sensitive, and they can be actually very inward, mm-hmm. where they're not very outgoing. What they all have in common is this very strong drive to feel special. But to get back to your point about narcissists and politics, we already know from the research that most politicians and the vast majority of presidents are narcissists. Narcissists is not a diagnosis. It means somebody higher in traits of narcissism than the average person. They may or may not be disordered. That is a separate thing.
Interesting. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of Donald Trump. And I said at the outset that we don't want to pick on Donald Trump, but he just does seem to be such an interesting example in this conversation because he so frequently makes references to himself. So let's listen to this.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second. And by the way, I'm not even saying that in a bragging. That's the kind of mindset, that's the kind of thinking you need for this country.
So there it is. That's the kind of thinking you need for this country. Is it a fact that every presidential candidate needs a little bit or maybe a lot of narcissism?
So they need a little bit of narcissism. Again, it's that healthy piece, that ability to see ourselves through slightly rose-colored glasses. In our research, people who are high in that were more resilient. They were able to hold on to big dreams. Really, the defining one of the things that defined them most was they agreed with a question like, I like to dream big, but not at the expense of my relationships. I would agree that, I would argue that somebody who needs, you know, the need to make lots of money and feel and be rich, that's a need maybe Donald Trump has. I don't know that it's necessarily something that presidents need, but it certainly seems to be something that he needs.
Yeah. Right. At what point, though, does narcissism? I mean, you hear Donald Trump in that argument, and the crowd is kind of with him and cheering him on. I mean, so at that point, the narcissism seems to be serving him well. At what point does it turn people off?
It turns people off when, again, the most helpful way you can think about it is like an addiction. Narcissists are not comfortable saying they're sorry, turning to people when they feel sad or scared or lonely, and openly acknowledging that and depending on people. So they use feeling special, something that we that, again, I argue in Rethinking Narcissism, I point out the research that most people around the world seem to do this, but they use it addictively, and so much so that they might exploit others to feel special. They become extremely demanding, acting as though the world owes them or other people owe them. And one really important hallmark is that they have empathy impairment or dysfunctional empathy. That is, that they can show a capacity for empathy, but when they feel preoccupied or it doesn't suit them, they're not motivated, the empathy vanishes. Mm-hmm. I call that the triple E. That is when people tip into unhealthy narcissism. They're so invested in feeling like they stand out from the other 7 billion people on the planet that nothing else really matters, including what other people want or need.
Now, how does narcissism track between the genders? Do we see more men or more women with narcissistic traits?
When it comes to milder form of narcissism, men are slightly more narcissistic than women, a particular kind of narcissism, more outgoing, loud, brash kind. When it comes to the quieter kinds of narcissists who tend to feel slights more easily, they might be shy, they might be averse to crowds, but they feel secretly grandiose, men and women are about equal.
Interesting. And what about cultures? Do certain cultures produce more narcissists than others?
Definitely culture has an influence, because the way narcissism is expressed, again, if you just think of it as a drive to feel special, and narcissists, and particularly disordered narcissists, have gone overboard with that drive. The way that's going to be expressed in cultures is going to depend on the culture itself. So in a more Western individualized culture, in the U.S. and in the U.K., where it's easier to focus on power, where people are reinforced for it, you're going to see more of the loud, brash kind of narcissism. But there's another kind of narcissism which is really all about feeling like the most helpful person on the planet, called communal narcissism. Huh. And that seems to be, not surprisingly, more common in more collectivist cultures like Asia.
Now, what does that mean, communal? Because that sounds almost oxymoronic, communal narcissism.
Communal narcissism is the term that's being given in the research to people who, the way they feel special is that they agree with questions like, I'm the most helpful person I know. One day I will be known by the world for the good deeds I have done.
I see.
Obviously, that's a very different kind of narcissism and a very different kind of narcissist.
Yeah. Now, there's sort of this popular notion that narcissists are making up for feelings of deep insecurity. Is there truth to that?
It's absolutely true.
It's absolutely true.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
But a particular kind of insecurity. Again, narcissists become extremely narcissistic because they don't really trust people to be there for them. What they have in common in their background is they don't trust that if they make themselves vulnerable, if they ask for things from other people, that they can count on others. So they turn to feeling special as sort of like a drug. In the research, this is called insecure attachment. They don't trust that they can depend on people, so they depend on feeling special instead,
right,
no matter what the kind of narcissist.
So we've been talking about narcissism and the degree to which there are healthy kinds of narcissism. what happens to someone who doesn't have a trace of narcissism?
We're talking about echoism in the
research.
Echoism in the research. I dubbed this echoism, drawn from the myth of Narcissus and Echo. Echo was the nymph who was cursed to repeat back only the last few words she heard. Mm. She fell in love with Narcissus, and like Echo, people who struggle with echoism tend to fall into relationships with extremely narcissistic partners and friends. Their rule that they live life by is the less room I take up, the better. They're afraid of being a burden. They're afraid of seeming narcissistic in any way. I myself am a recovered echoist, so I can speak a little bit about that.
Interesting. Now, how do you do that? How do you recover as an echoist? Or how does an echoist gain some of those healthy narcissistic traits?
You have to be able to really develop your voice, sort of the stance of echoism. My mother was extremely narcissistic, and when she was younger, one of these ways it played out was she would fall into these funks and disappear and really use narcotics. And I became her caretaker, but I also became very afraid of asking for things.
Of
being a burden anyway. I had to learn how to state when I needed things. I had to learn how to express that.
Well, Dr. Craig Malkin, he's a psychologist, instructor of psychology at Harvard Medical School, and author of Rethinking Narcissism, The Bad and Surprising Good About Feeling Special. Thank you for coming in. It's such a fascinating topic. I'm very grateful that you came in.
Thank you for having me.
And for a link to the Common Health Post featuring Dr. Malkin, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, the music of jazz and R&B vocalist Liz Wright. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.